Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. As a Gold Star family member, I'm always humbled and appreciative of all the support that comes from civilians, veterans, nonprofits, and other groups who make it their mission to support those who lost a loved one in service to our nation. Today, my guest is Anthony Price. Anthony is with the Gold Star Ride Foundation, whose mission it is to actively support, comfort, and provide education benefits to Gold Star families throughout the United States. They provide these things directly with personal visits via motorcycle, and they support those other organizations that work to assist in the same activities that help support these Gold Star families. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Anthony. I'm really appreciative to have you on the show today.
Hey, Scott. It's great to be here. These things are kind of fun. I don't get to do them every day, so it's kind of fun to rock and roll with my headphones on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I pretend I'm a young guy doing stuff like this. I did want to take a quick moment here to augment that introduction. I appreciate that introduction very much. But the Gold Star Ride Foundation has expanded their call to duty, for lack of better terminology. And it's not just education benefits. It's now we are to the point where we will do whatever the fallen hero would have done if they were still around. Just today, as a matter of fact, I got an email from a young lady who's been a Gold Star widow for 4 years. And her air conditioner went out in her house, and she's got three kids to take care of. So odds are we're going to step up there and make sure that that air conditioning is taken care of. It's late in the summer as this one airs, but it's the beginning of the summer as we're recording it. Right. So hopefully by the time this airs, she'll be sitting in air-conditioned comfort in her home.
Yeah, I hope so. And that's an amazing thing that you guys are doing, is basically stepping in and filling in where that the Gold Star family needs that sort of right. support from the person who gave that ultimate sacrifice, made that ultimate sacrifice, and really did that for all of our benefits. And you guys are stepping up and filling in where they would have otherwise been able to help out with their family. So honestly, it really is to me a huge thing that you guys are doing. And I feel like it's an incredible effort that you guys are making. And I'm really appreciative of all the work that you guys do.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. It's just something that I feel compelled to do. I'm the executive director of the organization, which is a 501c3 charity organization. But being the executive director, that means that I'm the one who does all the work. I don't know how familiar you are with small charities, but that's basically what that means, is I'm the one who does all the work. And I don't know how much longer I get to say that we're a small charity. We have very little manpower. There's about two or three different volunteers that are getting everything coordinated with the tens of thousands of miles that we ride every year to the homes that we go visit and everything. But we are national. We are working national. To give you a couple of bullet points real quick here, since 2018, so it'll be 4 years since we got this thing kicked off. And in that amount of time, I have visited all 48 of the contiguous United States at least three times each.
Wow.
I have over 100,000 motorcycle miles, and I have visited with more than 400 Gold Star families personally, met them face to face. Not like this little Zoom thing that you and I got going on. And the next time I'm in Phoenix area, I'm sure that you and I will shake hands and we'll meet in person. We'll just get that taken care of.
You get to be one of us.
But you are one of us. So
right.
That's important for us to make that physical in-person connection with all the Gold Stars.
Yeah. And it's really amazing to me that you guys are going all over the country, meeting with all these people who, quite frankly, you don't know these people from anything, right?
Not beforehand. As a rule, no, we don't know them beforehand. And that brings up an interesting point. Well, or probably indirectly brings up an interesting point, but we don't reach out to any Gold Stars. Mm-hmm. You being the exception when we reached out to you and we talked about this podcast, but we do not reach out to Gold Stars. We just sit and wait for Gold Stars to reach out to us. As I mentioned, the one that called up this morning, I got no idea who that is, no idea whatsoever. So, and we got some protocols that we have to follow, because there was one time when we actually had somebody try to hoodwink us, and they said they were a gold star, but they really weren't. And as a consequence of that, which is really weird, right? I mean, who wants to pretend? Who wants to pretend to be a gold star family?
Right.
But anyway, there was one. And since there was one, we have to do some due diligence, as it were, to make sure that we're going up the right road. But they have to reach out to us, or somebody very close to them, their best friend, has to reach out to us and tell us to stop by and get it all set up. We're not going to call people out of the blue and say, oh, yeah, I heard you had a death in the family. We'd like to come by and meet you. You know, that would just be ridiculous.
Right.
So they all have to call us.
Yeah. So I guess my whole point with that is, it to me, it's a special thing, because you're going out of your way. You're logging all these thousands and thousands of miles. You're providing this support, financial support, education benefits, things like you're talking about, an air conditioner and things like that. All those things are, they're expensive. They're big things.
They're
for people that, prior to them reaching out to you, you didn't have a clue who these people were. And to me, that's the thing about charities that really moves me, is that you're out there, you're helping people. You don't know these people. You don't owe them anything, but you still go out of your way to help them out, knowing the sacrifice that they have made for all of us. And it's really special and incredible to me. And that's why I wanted to have you on and talk about the foundation, and really help spread awareness, so that not only could people come and support you in everything that you're doing, because obviously it takes money, takes time, resources to do everything that you're doing, but also for the other Gold Star families who are out there to know that there are people like you out there who are able to support them, and that they don't have to go through this terrible time in their lives all by themselves. You know?
Yeah, so, and just to comment on that last point that you make, to go through that terrible time all by themselves, I bet I can say something about you, and you're going to agree with me, that it's not, once that terrible time hits, it never goes away. You're never going to stop missing your brother.
Right.
You're never, and forgive me, because this is actually the first time I've been interviewed by a Gold Star. So we got to try to make sure we keep our interview hat on. But yeah, it doesn't ever get any easier. Maybe it gets a little bit easier. Maybe it gets a little bit easier to tolerate, but it never goes away, and you never get to, you just get a power through, but it never goes away. I don't know how long it's been for you. I would guess about
almost 12 years now.
12 years.
So, yeah.
So 12 years it's been that you've been a Gold Star, and incidentally, you're a Gold Star brother.
Yeah.
Who happened to serve. So you got a whole bunch of other parts of the puzzle that you get to bring to the table that a lot of Gold Stars don't bring. When we talk about Gold Stars, usually people say, well, she's a Gold Star mom. And that's kind of where it ends. Kind of. Every now and then you get, oh yeah, he's a Gold Star dad. And then the next one you hear is, oh, they're Gold Star kids. The ones that they never talk about, nobody ever talks about, is Gold Star brothers and Gold Star sisters.
Right.
But see, you bring something so much extra to the table, because you served with your brother, didn't you?
So we served in Afghanistan at the same time, you know, in the same unit side by side with each other. We're in the same part of the country. We're both in Eastern Afghanistan, but while we were over there, we never saw each other, but we did both serve at the same time.
You get to bring this other part of the equation to the table, that unspoken camaraderie. Like you and I, Scott, we have a teeny tiny little bit of invisible bond, because I served in the Navy and you served as well. So we got this automatic little thing, right? And nobody knows really how to describe it or what it is, but we have this automatic little thing. And that little thing is amplified if you've talked to a stranger and you meet somebody in a grocery store, you just say, excuse me, I want that loaf of bread. And they say, oh, I served in Afghanistan too. You got an instant rapport, an instant contact, an instant way of just knowing something that you guys have a secret, right? You have a secret. You and I have a secret because we both serve. But if you bump into somebody who served in the same theater that you did, you got it even tighter. So you get to bring that to the table because he was your brother. You grew up with him. You were in the same house, right?
Right.
So literally your brother. But he was your brother in arms too, because you were in the same theater. And now you get to add all to that, you get to also, you also bring to the table that not only did you serve with him, not only was he your kid brother you played football with in the backyard when you were 10, you served in the same theater of war.
Yeah.
And those are things that you can't explain to somebody. You don't get to, you just can't explain it, because how do you put into, well, the feeling is like this. It's blue. Yeah, it's like trying to describe a color. It's right. Red. Incidentally, I wear a lot of red. I wear red every day. I wear red to remember everyone deployed. You've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. But it's like trying to describe to a blind person the color red.
Right.
How do you describe colors to somebody who's never had vision? So that's the same sort of thing, except the difference is you don't have to. When you meet that guy in a grocery store who served in Afghanistan, you don't have to describe the color red. You both just know what the color red looks like. Right. And you're blind and you know what the color. I'm trying to keep the metaphor going, but there's so much of this stuff that defies normal explanation. And I really appreciate you giving me a chance to be on your show to actually meet with you. Mm-hmm. This is so cool for me to meet with you.
Well, you know, the feeling is mutual on my side here, because seeing all the work that you guys put in and you being the workhorse behind a lot of this, it's like well, this is just a really special thing for me. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with you and find out more about the foundation and everything that you guys are doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're supposed to talk about the foundation. We've been, we got a little sidetracked talking about other stuff. Right. You see, I'm just assuming that with the Drive On podcast that you've got listeners who did not serve. I assume.
There are some of those out there. Some family members and people like that who didn't serve, but they want to know more about what's going on with the veteran community and stuff, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to come from, is to get to those people. Those are the people I'm trying to describe the color red to.
Right.
Okay. So if you don't quite get it, just know that it's there. That's probably the best way to describe it to civilians, is you don't have to understand it to know that it's there. And knowing that it's there is a big deal. And the same thing is true at a different level, but the same kind of thing is true when we talk about Gold Star brothers, literal Gold Star brothers and Gold Star sisters. I meet with them all the time. I just met with somebody down in Florida along the Gulf Coast, a sister who lost her brother. And she was one of those people who people didn't know how to tell her. They didn't know how to react to her. Nobody knew how to react to her. And this is one of the things that I try to bring when I get to meet with these families. And incidentally, she's not the only one. There was a Gold Star sister in West Memphis, Tennessee. There was Gold Star sisters in Utah. There was Gold Star sisters in, but anyway, that it took me a while to go through 400 families. So there are a lot of them, and they become, there's one in Massachusetts too.
Okay.
Massachusetts. I bring that up because I'm riding in Massachusetts on May 31st. 2022. Sorry about that. You missed it, but we should be doing it every year. And it will be the Tuesday after Memorial Day every year that we are going to start going to this bar in Massachusetts that's owned by a Gold Star sister, as a matter of coincidence. So she wanted to do a fundraiser for us. So we're just going to stop in. Additionally, as long as we're talking a little bit about rides, and I'm not working off a script, so if the conversation goes that way, don't be surprised.
No worries.
But yeah, we go to Washington, D.C. for Memorial Day weekend every year. We've been doing it for 4 years. The primary reason to go is for the demonstration against our nation's capital to remember MIAs and POWs. And this is something that's been going on since the 80s. Motorcycles on Memorial Day Sunday parade in front of the Capitol. They will block off the streets there, and there will be a parade of nothing but motorcycles going nonstop for anywhere from 2 to 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
It's a massive thing. I get to do some stuff at Arlington the day before. We get to go see the monuments. We're going to, on Memorial Day Saturday, we will have Gold Star families that we go pay honor to in the D.C. area. And then on Monday, I'm in Long Island to do a podcast. I do an in-studio podcast on Memorial Day in Long Island. That's a lot of fun. And then from there, we go see Gold Star families up in the New England area, which includes stopping to see this bar in Massachusetts. We will go through up toward Concord and New Hampshire, Vermont. And we're going to do something on, I think it's the Thursday of that week, right on the state line of Vermont and New Hampshire. There's a little restaurant, little town, little restaurant right there. Sorry, don't have my script in front of me. I don't know the exact details, but I think that's planned for the Thursday after Memorial Day. And after that, I will have been gone for 2 weeks and I'm going to hightail it back home. There's a good chance that I'll stop somewhere, say South Bend, Indiana or Detroit or someplace. I'll stop along the way. And as a matter of fact, I know it already. There's a family in 2022, there's a family outside of west of Chicago. We're going to stop and see them on our way home back to Minneapolis. That's right. This is a Minneapolis basement here, by the way. Now, some parts of the country don't have basements. This is what a basement looks like.
I'm originally from Connecticut. Every house had a basement. Now I live out in Arizona and pretty much no houses have basements. It's incredible.
Yeah, but this is actually a basement. That's a real wood burning fireplace back there. That's a gold. This is one of the banners that we have available to hang off the motorcycle. So that's a Gold Star Ride Foundation banner that is supposed to hang on the motorcycle. If you look up here, you see the little bitty rags, tips of little bitty rags right there. Those are flags that have many, many, many miles on them. There's two American flags there. The first American flag is over here. You can't even see it. It has 32,000 miles on it. The middle American flag has 36,000 miles on it. And then there's a Gold Star flag way at the end that has about 35,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, the flags get a lot of miles. We do a lot of things. We do a lot of miles. And I mentioned that I'll be on the road for 2 weeks. So I'll be in a hurry to get back home. I did mention that, right?
Yeah.
So let me use that as a nice little segue to get back to why am I in a hurry to get back home after 2 weeks? Because my wife is not sitting on the back of the motorcycle with me. She usually flies out to Washington, D.C. to spend that time in D.C. with me. But then we'll pick an airport for her to fly back because she's got her own job. So the reason why 2 weeks is a long time on the road is because when I first got this thing kicked off, when I first got started doing it, I left on July 2nd, 2018, and I got home on August 26th, 2018, more or less, give or take a day. I get them all mixed up. Anyway, I rode 54 days. I made it to 44 states and I met with 64 Gold Star families. I went almost 18,000 miles in that 2 week period.
Oh, wow.
And then I got home from that and I spent a month making sure that my wife still loved me and she let me back in the house and she gave me the basement. No, I'm just kidding. I spent a month making sure she loved me and then I sat down and I wrote the book. So this book, Yours Very Sincerely and Respectfully, and I'll hint on the title here in just a second, but this book is the story of the original reason for doing it, what it took to get the 501c3, getting a board of directors, and making sure that it was a good idea, the whole process of it's going to be a good idea. And I went to somebody and I said, hey, we need to go national with this ride. And they all burst into laughter. And they said, that'll never happen. Well, I've been to every state at least three times. When we visit a family, I don't have any here, so I can't hold up the plaques that we give to the family. So sorry about that. Again, running without a script. When we visit a family, we leave them a little plaque, a little token of our appreciation and our memories that we shared together. And engraved in the plaque is something called the Bixby letter. Now, the Bixby letter was written by Abraham Lincoln to a woman who apparently lost five sons during the Civil War. So it's commonly referred to as the Bixby letter. Now, the first paragraph, it's a three-paragraph letter. The first paragraph talks about her and her boy, so we took that off because it's very, very specific. But the next two paragraphs are very genuine and heartfelt, and they're Lincoln-esque, and they're like, what's the word I'm looking for that means it came out of the Bible? Scripture. They're very much like scripture. So those are engraved into the plaque, and Lincoln signed that letter Yours very sincerely and respectfully, A. Lincoln. So hence the title of the book, Yours Very Sincerely and Respectfully, A. Lincoln. Now, the book will have all kinds of neat things in it. I get to tell you about this stuff because this is a podcast, right? So it's long form.
Yeah.
I could just ramble on and on and on and on. So what you're going to find in the book is stuff like what it took to create the foundation and then what it took to go on the ride. And then it's not a chronological journey. You're not going to find, okay, July 2nd, this is what happened. July 3rd, this is what happened. It's not like that at all. It's like paragraph or chapter one. This is what it takes to set something up. Chapter two, this is what it's like on the road. Chapter three, this is all really bad hotels. Nothing but really bad hotels. Chapter four, here's a couple of Gold Star families. Chapter five, this is what it's like when the motorcycle breaks down. And incidentally, I'll share this with you. On that ride, I was broke down 8 days out of my first 14.
Oh, wow.
Out of the first 14. Not the last 14, the first 14. Since then, let me share with you some stuff, right? Because you want to know about what happens and the ride or the foundation. I mean, we do the work. We've talked about that already. But what kind of happens on the road? I'll tell you it was two rides ago. My 31st ride, I was on ride number 31. And I was riding from Dothan, Alabama, on my way to St. Louis, Missouri. Gold Star family in St. Louis. Got to go see them. I'm in Dothan, Alabama. I'm visiting with the Gold Star family there. We had thunderstorms come through. I mean, nasty stuff with tornadoes and stuff. So we met them I met the family at the memorial that was set up in Dothan that has their son's name is on it. We talked for a great deal of time, and I get to learn all the backstory. I get to learn all kinds of stuff. And we laughed a little bit. We cried a little bit. And then I heard thunder rolling, and I saw this guy, and he's yuck. And I said, I'm going to go over here to this restaurant. And we'd been together for 2.5 hours already. And I generally don't work with a schedule either, but we just do what it. And I said, look, I'm going to go sit in this restaurant and just wait out this nasty line of thunderstorms. Cause I don't mind riding in the rain, but I have a little bit of an aversion to riding in the tornado.
Right.
So they said, well, we're going to join you. And I said, okay, fine. So we went to a local little restaurant and we sat it out and we waited. I'm watching my phone. I'm doing the little radar thing on my phone and we're watching it. And sure enough, there was a tornado. It was about 3 blocks away from the restaurant.
Wow.
So we wait till all that passes and then I get on the motorcycle and down the road. And I'm headed for St. Louis and I'm riding in the rain. The tornado had passed, but there was still 6 hours of rain. But it was just the just get wet rain. The thunder had passed and, you know, so down the road we're going. And incidentally, that's how I wash the motorcycle because I never have time to actually wash the motorcycle. So we ride in the rain to get the motorcycle washed. And I made it 75 miles down the road. I'd ridden for about an hour and a half, about 75 miles down the road. And I was in the next town. I can't remember the name of it. And the rain just, I can tell it's going to stop. I can see the clouds are breaking up and it's just going to stop. And I'm on a hill and a stoplight right there. And I stop for the stoplight and I'm a pretty experienced motorcyclist. I've done this before, but I let out the clutch to go and the bike dies.
I don't know.
It's like, oh, well, that's weird. Okay. Let's hit the start button and make it go again. Well, the long and short of it is the starter went out right there. The starter went out. So I'm in the left lane going uphill in the rain. And with an 1,100 pounds of motorcycle and everything packed on it, because I'm driving a Harley Ultra Classic and the bags are full and I got books and I've got clothes and I've got it. Anyway, first really cool thing that happened. I hit my four ways on. So I got my four ways going. Everybody should know that I'm in trouble. And I start to slowly push uphill off to the right and I have to cross two lanes of traffic and I look back there and there's a semi right there. He blocks two lanes of road, hits his four ways, and he sits right there and blocks traffic. So I get off the road. So that's a first cool thing. And I get over to the shoulder. And I'm still got a little ways to go to get up around the hill and off the main beaten path. And you know how on the side of the road, there'll be grass, right? There'll be like a ditch or a boulevard, a little grassy knoll thing. Anyway, guy drives his truck right over there onto the grass. And he rolls out and says, you need some help? And I said, I'm not going to say no. This is a heavy bike. He jumps, he leaves his truck there, jumps out, pushes me up and around, and there he goes. Okay, so that's the second thing. And then he gets back in his truck and comes over to the parking lot area where I'm sitting, and I'm kind of struggling. I'm looking at codes. I'm trying to figure out, making sure that it's a starter that is actually the problem, because I think it is, but I certainly don't know that it is. Anyway, it's looking like it is. And he comes over and says, yeah, I got a couple of buddies that just opened a motorcycle repair shop. Maybe I should give them a call for you. And I said, yeah, that'd be awesome, because I don't know where the nearest Harley dealer is, because otherwise you're going to the dealer to get repairs done and stuff like that. And within 3 minutes, there was a guy there with a little gauge and a little tool, and he's doing the thing. Yep, starter's gone. Got to have a new starter. He said, is that something you guys can do? He says, well, we haven't been open long enough to have all the tools for this, but I'm going to call my buddy. We're going to get your trailer over here. It's an enclosed trailer. We'll get you all roped down, and we'll give you a ride to the Harley dealer. You just tell us which Harley dealer you want to go to. Okay, so I call the one north because I'm going north. It's 75 miles away. They don't have the part.
Oh, no.
So I call the one south, 75 miles to the south. Apparently, the 150 miles is how far you have to go between Harley dealerships in Alabama. Anyway, that was in, I want to say it was in Huntsville. The north one was in Huntsville. The south one was in Dothan, I think. I could be screwing up the north one because I didn't get to go there. They didn't have the part. So the south one says, yep, we got the part. We'll get it in here for you first. We'll push some stuff aside. We'll get it. If you can get the bike here, we'll get it done for you first thing in the morning. So already they're like, oh, wow, you're on a mission. You're on the road. Yeah, we're going to take care of you. Okay, then by the time I get off the phone, the trailer is there. And now I got two guys helping me push the bike into the trailer. We get it loaded down. It's in the trailer. I climb in the back seat of the truck, and down the road we go. These two guys are riding in the front seat of the truck. And we're going down the road, and I said, you guys can't do this for free. I got to give you something for this ride. And the guy says, oh, hell no. I'm a Navy veteran. He's in the National Guard right now, and we're in a company truck, and the company is owned by a retired two-star general. We stop everything to help a veteran in trouble. Everything. You can't give us nothing. We're just going to get you there. We're going to see that you're taken care of. And that's all there is to it. I gave them each an autographed copy of the book. I didn't leave them with completely empty handed, but they wouldn't take any money from me. So that's pretty awesome. And that's pretty cool. So we get to the dealership as they're locking the door. They're bringing the door down. Okay. Door goes back up. Bike goes inside. Then they lock the door. These guys take me over to a hotel where I stay until the alarm rings at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's the Harley dealer. Can we work on your bike? Yep. Work on it. Fix it. Okay, great. I'll see you in a couple hours. Hang up the phone. They're working on the bike. I take my time getting out of the hotel. 3 hours later, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking. I don't know, it's like two or three blocks. So I'm walking back to the Harley dealership to go get the bike. And I walk into the back door where the service area is, and I walk up to him. And I say, yeah, I'm a Gold Star Ride Foundation. That's the bike has Gold Star Ride stickers, like 19 Gold Star Ride stickers on it. You don't misunderstand which bike is the Gold Star bike, okay?
Right.
So I said, yeah, the Gold Star bike. And he said, hey, you know what? We just got it done. I just got to do the paperwork. It'll take me about 6 or 7 minutes. Do the paperwork, and we'll have you out of here. And I said, okay, great. I got 6 or 7 minutes. I'd like to talk to the GM. They bring me over. I meet the GM. Turns out he's the owner of the place. And I'm telling him about what Gold Star Ride is and what we do and all like that, hoping that I can get some kind of a donation from him, a discount or something. And while I'm talking to him, another old guy sticks his head around the door because we're in a little office, sticks his head in the office. He says, hey, there was somebody here looking for somebody. Was it you he was looking for? And I looked at him, I burst into laughter. I said, oh, yeah, what I know. Who was he looking for? Did he give you a name? Does he have a name? Anything like that? Okay, so here's a little bit of backstory that I forgot to tell you. When I was in the hotel, I got onto social media, got onto Facebook and doing stuff. And when the motorcycle broke down, I did a quick 30-second video. And I posted it up on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and all. Anyway, so I got that out there. A 30-second video said the bike is sick. That's all I said. Bike is sick. In the hotel room, I got a Facebook message. And I don't do Facebook on my phone at all, right? So if I'm doing Facebook Messenger or messages through Gold Star Ride Foundation, all that stuff is done on my computer. And that means I have to be sitting down and doing. Anyway, so I get a message that says, I saw you were broke down and I'd like to come and pay for the parts. I'd like to come and pay for your repairs. And I said, well, gee, okay. And this kind of stuff happens all the time. I know nobody's going to show up. They're not coming. Now, fast forward is the guy comes in and says, somebody came in. Now we're in the dealership again. Somebody came in looking for somebody. Was it you he was looking for? How the hell do I know? Anyway, the owner and I said, well, let's go find out. So the owner and I walk around the corner, and he had this guy, his name was Ricardo, came in the front door at the exact same time that I went in the back door. That's how. And he says, hey, yeah, I'm Ricardo. I'm here to pay for your repairs. And I said, huh? Where did you come from? He said, he told me the name of the little town. And I said, that's near Kissimmee, Florida. And he says, yeah, that's where I came from. I said, you had to be on your motorcycle since 5 o'clock this morning. He said, yep, that's pretty much it. Got on about 5:15. I said, what kind of bike are you riding? 883 Sportster. Okay, I don't know how familiar you are with motorcycles, but an 883 Sportster is not the bike to ride 5.5 hours across Florida and half of Alabama. And that's what he had done. He 5.5 hours. Wow. That's like stopping for gas like four times on a Sportster, and an 883 Sportster at that. Anyway, he had it his way. He came all the way up from Florida to pay for my repairs on the motorcycle. So while I was talking with him, the owner of the thing went back to, he says, I'm going to go back and talk to the guys at the service department about your bike. And he comes back and he says, yeah, your bike's already, paperwork's already. I knocked 25% off it because of the work that you're doing. He went back there and, yep, sure enough, he paid for the new starter. And that's what it was. And then he and I went off and he was a Navy veteran, but he and I went off and we ended up talking for 90 minutes or so before I hit the road. And I got on the bike. When we parted company, I got on a bike and I'm tooling down the road. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day as opposed to the rain from the day before. And I'm thinking, wow, this road looks a whole lot better in the sun than it did in the rain, because I had done the same trip from Dothan, Alabama, northward. I'd done the same exact trip the day before, only the day before it was in rain. And I was just constantly thinking, I can't wait for my next breakdown. I just can't wait to see what happens next. And if you don't mind me saying, I'll give you another one of these miracle stories from the road. Back in 2018, when I was doing that ride, when I was doing the big ride that resulted in the book, I was tooling through the Appalachian Mountains in...
Where are the Appalachian Mountains?
Pennsylvania. I was tooling around in the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania, and I got to the New York state line right at very, very, very close to Erie, Pennsylvania. So right along the Great Lakes there, Erie, Pennsylvania, New York state line, Interstate 90. And there's an exit right there at the state line. There's an exit right there, and there's a McDonald's right there. Apparently, the good people that knew about McDonald's knew that you got to put one at the state line, because everybody going from Pennsylvania to New York has to stop and put their helmet on. So don't have to wear a helmet in Pennsylvania, but you do have to wear one in New York. And so I stopped into the McDonald's to put my helmet on. Okay, start up the bike, got the helmet strapped on, start up the bike. It goes about 10 feet and dies. Just nothing. And I start to cuss and scream. And I go, what the hell is your, I don't understand what's wrong with this motorcycle. And I'm checking the codes. And again, I don't know if you're a bike enthusiast or if you know how these things work, but you can manipulate some buttons on the dash and you get the speed out. The odometer will change and give you digital readout, the computer readout. So the things that the computer finds that are wrong with the motorcycle. So I'm working the codes and I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with the motorcycle. And I'm clearing the codes. Can't start. It won't start. And out of nowhere, I'm working it for like 5 minutes. It's like 90 degrees. It's the fifth day of July. And I don't know. I hear this voice. Hey, mine does that sometimes too. What do you say we push you over here in the shade and see what's happening? And I'm like, well, what else am I going to do? Okay. So he's a little older than me. He's probably about 60, 65 years old, white beard, white hair, a little bit of a belly. And he gets on the left side of the motorcycle with one hand on the handlebar and the other hand on the back, on the trunk. And I'm on the right side of the motorcycle with my right hand on the handlebar, my left hand on the trunk. And we're pushing it backwards. Now, we got stickers all over the gas tank that say Gold Star Ride Foundation, right? Mm-hmm. They're all over. So he says, what's Gold Star Ride Foundation? And I tell him. And he says, huh, I never heard of that before. Well, what's a Gold Star family? So I tell him. And then he stops. I just say, well, it's immediate family members of somebody killed in the military. And he just stops. I mean, the motorcycle isn't moving anymore. He stopped, stood upright, standing, and looked me dead in the face. And he said, my daughter was killed in Korea 3 years ago. And I said, that makes you a Gold Star dad. He said, nobody ever told me that before.
Wow.
I've never heard of such a thing. And I said, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Anyway, we finished with, it was only 10 more feet. We push the bike into the shade. We get it into the shade. And then we're not paying attention to the motorcycle anymore. Now we're doing the Gold Star family sort of a thing. And I reached into my backpack and I got one of those plaques that I told you about. And I read it to him. And actually, there's a video on our YouTube channel. You can find the video of me and this guy together. And he's crying, I'm crying. And we got crying happens a lot in this game, which is why I like to just throw the barbs out every now and then that create a little bit of laughter, because crying is so everywhere. Anyway, we finish up the thing and we probably spent 15, 20 minutes talking about his daughter. He told me everything there was to know about his daughter. And then he says, I got grandkids that are waiting for me. So we got to try and figure out something with this motorcycle. Cause I got to go. And I said, oh, well, right. So lock down the trunk, put on the helmet, lock it up the helmet. And I straddle the bike and I get on it. I hit the button. It goes, vroom, starts right up. And I drove all the way to Buffalo without stopping.
Wow.
There might be some speculation as to why the motorcycle stopped and why it started again. But I like to say that it was one of those little coincidences where God was too busy to take a bow. But yeah, those kind of things, they happen all the time. And I love telling the great stories. And there's a ton of great stories. There's a ton of them in the book, but there's twice as many. There's already talk of, my wife has been saying, you're going to have to sit down and write a sequel, because I got a lot of stories to tell. But, you know, we talk about all of this stuff and the work that we do and the lives that we change. And it's all good and fine and wonderful stuff. And I'd like to, if you would let me, I'd like to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about a story that's not quite as cheerful and joyful and sure. filled with one of those little miracles where God was too busy to take a bow. It was the end of July. I want to say the 31st day of July. And I was riding somewhere in the middle of the United States and it was hot. We it was one of those days where you really have to wonder, well, okay, I'm not going to make a joke about global warming here, but anyway, it was hot. And I had been riding for 29 days straight. Incidentally, when I did that long ride, the average was 307 miles a day, 7 days a week for 8 weeks. That's a lot of riding every day. Some of the days were 650 miles, 700, 800 miles, and some of the days were 150 miles, but 307 miles a day, every day, 7 days a week for 8 weeks. So I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of the end of 4 weeks of this. And there was no training. I didn't go to boot camp to learn how to do this. I just jumped on the bike and left. So it's not like I was conditioned to be doing this ride. I was dragging. I was really beat, but just powering through every day. And a woman had contacted me through email saying, you have to meet my best friend. She's a Gold Star mom, and you have to meet my best friend. And it's okay, well, we'll set it up. We're going to do lunch. And then we set it up at a restaurant where we could do lunch with this Gold Star mom, and there was two other Gold Stars there too. There was a Gold Star son and a Gold Star brother, another one. So the three Gold Stars were there to meet me, and there was a handful of friends that were there as well. So I think there was about eight people sitting around this big table at the restaurant, and everything is going along fine. And incidentally, this was before I did any vetting to determine whether or not I was going to go see a true Gold Star or somebody pretending to be a Gold Star. So I had no clue. All I knew was Gold Star mom. That's it. That's all I knew. I didn't know his name. I didn't know what branch of service. I didn't know anything. Anyhow, she's sitting immediately to my right. The other Gold Star is sitting across the table, and the other Gold Star is sitting at the end of the table down there. And we're all just casual nattering that you have when you got a bunch of strangers together having lunch for the first time. Oh, I think I'm going to have the onion rings. Oh, hey, how are them green beans, huh? Pretty good, eh? That kind of stuff. And then out of nowhere, I don't know if it was out of nowhere, the Gold Star mom sitting right next to me puts her fork down and both hands sitting on a table on either side of her plate. And she looks me dead in the face and she says, I just don't understand why my son would take his own life. And I said, he didn't take his own life. That was a sniper's bullet from 7,000 miles away. And everybody was at that point, everybody's in tears. There's it just kind of happens. You get the waterworks are coming. And after a couple seconds, somebody said, yeah, that's right. And wouldn't it be nice if the government didn't send our boys off to battle? And boy, those French fries are really good. And then we went back to the same old thing. And 45 minutes later, hour later, something like that, we kind of knew it was time to go. We posed for a couple of pictures. We hugged everybody goodbye and we parted company. And I got back on a motorcycle and down the road I went. And it was surreal. It was more surreal than usual. It's always a little bit surreal when I first get on the motorcycle, especially when I'm riding alone. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a little surreal. I'm going 70 miles an hour, but it feels like 10, and I'm tooling down the road and an hour passes, but it feels like 2 minutes. And it's just eerie. And down the road, about 350 miles later, I stopped and met another Gold Star family and we did some things and stayed in a cheesy, crappy hotel. Next day I went down a couple hundred miles and next day, a couple hundred miles more. And I was somewhere between 1,700, 1,900 miles away from that Gold Star way back there. And I had visited with probably six more families or eight more families since then. But I checked into the cheap hotel, and this was a bad hotel. I remember this hotel very well. That it wasn't a hotel at all. It was a motel, first of all. And it was in such disrepair that the button that you pull in the shower to make it go from filling the bathtub to having a shower up over your head, that button was gone. So there wasn't even there. And there was a couple of holes in the walls and there was a crack in the, when I closed the door, there was a crack between the door and the wall in the door jamb and the wall there. It was a crack big enough for me to push my finger all the way through it.
Oh, wow.
So there, I mean, this was a dive, man. This was a dumpy place. And I did the best I could. I took a bath on my knees, right? Got it all on my hands, my knees, take a shower kind of thing. Because there was no drain plug either. So I couldn't take a bath. So I had to take a shower from the little spigot. Anyway, got all done with that. And I turned on my computer and there was no Wi-Fi. I remember I had to take my phone and I had no signal inside the room. I had to take the phone outside, set it on the bike, and then I had a signal. And that was what I used for Wi-Fi. I turned on my hotspot and that's how I used my Wi-Fi to get Wi-Fi in my laptop. And I checked my email first and there was an email from the best friend of the Gold Star mom. And it was a very short email message and it just said, thank you so much for coming here, because later that day she went home and tore up her own suicide note.
Oh, wow. That,
and I, when I read that, I just put my face in my hands and cried for a while. But if there's ever a question of why I do the stupid, crazy, zany things that I do, that's the answer to the question of why do you do it?
That was going to be one of my questions. And I think that was the, you know, perfect way to answer that, because you know, there are people out there who just don't know how to keep going on without their loved one. And when you show them,
lots of them.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And when you show them,
many of them,
when you show them that love and support and let them know that there are people there for you to help you through this time. And like you said, it's not just like a short time period. This is something that is ongoing. It's a lifetime membership in a club that it's a lifetime membership in a club that nobody wants to join, but we're the right ones who are in that club. We're in it. And we're there for each other. And people like you and the Gold Star Ride Foundation, you guys are out there making a difference in these Gold Star families' lives. And I really do appreciate all of the stuff that you do. I do want to ask you, how can these Gold Star families or their friends or their neighbors, relatives, whoever, how can they reach out to the Gold Star Ride Foundation to get assistance and get that kind of help?
I love that question. Now I get to talk about how to reach out to us. GoldStarRide.org is the website. That's our website. You can learn some of these stories. You can learn some other stories. There's a bunch of videos there too. But goldstarride.org, there's a place to donate on there. There's a congratulatory message on there from, shoot, Hercules. Who played Hercules on TV? I should know this name. Because he's from Minneapolis. He's from the suburbs out here. Kevin Sorbo.
There it is. Yeah,
Kevin Sorbo. So he gave us a congratulatory message after finishing 10 rides. So as of this airing, let's see, we got 32, 33, 34. I will have 35 rides done when this, I'll have over 100,000 miles too. So little things like that are on the website, goldstarride.org. You can make donations there. You can buy copies of the book there. You can buy copies of the book at amazon.com. And I also recently learned you can also buy it at barnesandnoble.com. I was delighted to learn that it was on barnesandnoble.com. But that's, if you want it autographed, you got to buy it through the Gold Star Ride website. And then I sign all the books that go out. I do my best to sign all the books that go out through the Gold Star Ride website. Yeah, and you know what else you can do there? Let's see here. I got a really good, this is one of my favorite ones.
Can you read that? Yep. Oh, my DD214 can kick your MBA's ass. I like it.
Okay, you get those for $10 at our website. Excellent. Just make a $10 donation. Make sure that you include your shipping address. And I will assume that $10 donations, actually, by the time this actually airs, maybe I'll have a button just for this, just for that patch. But we have two slogans that are registered to us. One is this one. The other one is "We ride because they died."
Excellent.
We just do our best. It's kind of weird. I am the executive director, which means I have to wear a lot of hats. It means I'm the guy who has to do the podcast interview. It means I'm the guy who has to call all the corporations for sponsorships and donations, most of which say no. It's amazing how easy it is for corporations to say no. So I'm the one who has to do all the fundraising activities, as well as I'm the one who has to ride the motorcycle that breaks down, and I am the one who gets to meet. The best part of what I do is I am the one who gets to meet the families.
You have a lot of, like you said, a lot of hats that you wear. There's a lot of things that you do. I really want to emphasize to the listeners that if you want to help support the Gold Star Ride Foundation, go to their website that you mentioned earlier, which I also have a link to in the show notes so people can find it real easy. Go there and make a donation. If there's any volunteers who are looking to get involved, I'm sure you can always use some.
The rides that we have scheduled are on the website as well. So anytime you want to join us in a ride, you can find us stuff on there. The only time that we do not put rides on the website is if a family specifically says, we just want you to come by yourself. We don't want a whole bunch of other bikes and stuff like that here, which, believe it or not, happens so far twice out of 400 and some odd times. But so it does happen once in a while. But that's how you find out where in the country we're going to be riding next and how you can join us.
Excellent. Yeah. And so definitely check out the website. Check out the book. Again, it's on Amazon or you can get it on their website. I'll have links again to both of those places where you can get the book and help support the Gold Star Ride Foundation any way that you can, because the work that they're doing, even just with that one story with that woman who tore up her suicide note, that type of stuff that you do. And I'm sure there's other stories that you may not even know about.
I was just going to say that's probably not the only one, but it is the only one that I know of.
Right.
But I have to be the one who toots my own horn. So forgive me if it comes across as any kind of arrogant or anything like that. But I know what it's like to meet these families firsthand. I know what it's like to hang out with you. We have given you an incredible disservice. You personally have been receiving an incredible disservice because we had to do this like it was a podcast, not like it was a Gold Star family visit. But I know that one of the things that we like to say is, for at least a couple minutes, we help them carry the load. So for a couple minutes, we're going to help you carry the load. And hopefully some of that accidentally rubbed off for you personally during this podcast. I hope it did. But I've seen firsthand the results. I know there might not be any words spoken, But if I glance at somebody and I see two rivers of tears coming down the side of their face and they're dripping onto their shirt, I know we're probably getting a little bit of work done. We're probably getting something done.
Exactly.
And well, as long as I keep seeing that, and I have yet to make any acquaintance with any gold star, yourself included now, where there weren't tears coming down somebody's face.
Sure.
They come down mine a lot, but they come down, the tears just come down, and tears are very therapeutic. I've long said that tears are the result of extreme emotion. They're either extreme joy, laughter, you can laugh hard enough to be crying, or extreme sadness. And therefore, because they come out of such extremes, tears should be revered a little bit. You got to pay close attention to tears, because it's only through extreme emotion that they come down.
That's true. And you were saying that you have the job of tooting your own horn, but I'll do it for you. I think the work that the work that you're doing, though, is incredible. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. And I really want to, again, thank you so much for all the work that you do and the support that you provide to the people who are members of this club that literally none of us want to be a part of, but we all found ourselves here. So thank you again. I really do appreciate everything that you do.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.